Live, on air, online, and on the Highland Radio app. This is Highland Radio News.
Good evening, I'm Michaela Clark with the news at 5 o'clock. Coming up in this bulletin, there are calls for an increase in Garda patrols outside Letterkenny's post office after what's been described as a violent brawl there last week. A leading consultant in emergency medicine at Letterkenny University Hospital has described the number of people presenting themselves to the hospital with alcohol-related issues as scary. Former Dáil Deputy Niall Blaney says it's time Fianna Fáil had a serious conversation by contesting elections in Northern Ireland, and almost 900,000 euro in funding has been announced for improvements for private, local and rural roads in Donegal. Those stories you follow in full plus more, and we'll have the latest in sport with Oisin Kelly coming up at about 5:15. But first in news, a leading consultant in emergency medicine at Letterkenny University Hospital has described the number of people presenting themselves to the hospital with alcohol-related issues as scary. Dr. Jerry Lane was speaking ahead of a special reception to be held tonight in honour of his contribution to the local community. Mr. Hugh McBride, who is a long-term addiction counsellor in St. Connell's Hospital in Letterkenny, is also being honoured alongside Dr. Lane. Speaking on today's 9 till noon show, Dr. Lane stressed that alcohol abuse is still a worrying issue in Donegal and one that hasn't improved in recent years.
There's a whole swathe of very, very worrying middle-class, middle-aged people who are drinking at home, but their drinking isn't controlled. They're not coming to harm because they're not in their cars and stuff like that, but they're developing esophageal problems, liver problems, cardiac issues, and they're attending with the medical consequences thereafter. We had the World Health Organization in 2004, if I remember correctly, and they saw that 23% of our overall trauma in Letterkenny was related to alcohol consumption. That number doubled at the weekend. And then in the evening times at the weekend in Letterkenny, like so many other places, it's actually scary to go to your emergency department because there are large numbers of people there who are disinhibited because of the alcohol they have on board. The issue for us as healthcare providers is we can't discriminate against people because they've indulged in alcohol or drugs or whatever. We're not judges or juries. Our job is to keep folk alive and as well as possible until they either sober up in the short term or sober up in the long term. Alcohol abuse is a widespread thing. It's still continuing, and it's at least a quarter of our work, if not up to a half at various times. It hasn't actually gotten very much better over the last several years, regretfully.
Former Dáil Deputy Niall Blaney says it's time Fianna Fáil had a serious conversation about contesting elections in Northern Ireland. Mr. Blaney is contesting the Shannon by-election for Fianna Fáil, saying that if elected as a senator, he will not contest the next Donegal Dáil selection convention. There are two vacancies on the Shannon agricultural panel, with former Ulster Farmers Union president Ian Marshall favoured to take one of the seats. Niall Blaney is regarded as one of the frontrunners for the second vacant seat, but he says he's taking nothing for granted.
The Shannon election is a much different animal to a Dáil election. It's probably anybody's guess at this stage, and it's probably come down to what Sinn Féin will do with their block of 30 votes. They probably could decide either way. The front runners on the inside panel is myself and a former Fine Gael TD from Kildare, Anthony Lawler. They close the ballots at 11 o'clock on Friday, and the count will kick off around that time as well. So I'd imagine by late afternoon, it'll be known what the story will be.
You've said that if elected to the Shannon, your return to politics will be characterised by looking for more infrastructural investment in Donegal. But you've also said you'll be putting a particular focus within Fianna Fáil in particular on trying to get the party to contest elections in Northern Ireland.
Well, the two things you touched on there, both infrastructure in Donegal and Northern Ireland, are inextricably linked. There's no two ways about it. We do find it very hard to get our fair share up here, and that will continue. And it's because we're so marginalised and cut off by the border. I think politicians south of Ireland really have to take Northern Ireland seriously. We can have people talk about United Ireland all we want, but if we're not inclined to go in there and take politics in Northern Ireland serious and make all sides see that there's a possible future for Northern Ireland within the Republic of Ireland, whether that be over a 10, 20-year period, it can't happen.
Theresa May has insisted the UK must leave the customs union after Brexit to strike trade deals globally. The British Prime Minister is facing a series of parliamentary battles in the coming weeks over the UK's future customs arrangements with the EU. Number 10 has dismissed reports at the weekend that her position may be softening.
I want to ensure we have as frictionless a border as possible with the European Union, and also that we can have our own trade deals, we can negotiate our own trade deals around the rest of the world. I think that's the best way forward.
There are calls for an increase in Garda patrols outside Letterkenny's post office after what's been described as a violent brawl there last week. It was reported that up to five men were involved in the fight on Wednesday morning, which began in the post office and then continued outside the premises. Gardaí have confirmed that investigations are ongoing into the incident, however no arrests have yet been made. Cathaoirleach of Donegal County Council is Councillor Jerry McMonagall.
From what I've been told, it was quite a shocking display of violence at the post office, and there was a number of people involved in fistfights, and the public witnessed all of this. And just from them talking to people around the area after it, and they're suggesting that maybe this was not an isolated incident, that this was a regular occurrence. Now, I hadn't heard of that there before, and I'd contacted the Gardaí to make it known, or just to request them that maybe they would increase patrols in and around the post office at these collection days. But they also said they weren't aware that it was a regular occurrence. But obviously it was a massive shock for those people who were at the post office doing their business that morning.
And a lot of those people vary in ages, quite vulnerable people indeed, who use the post office service quite regularly.
Yeah, that's the difficult thing for everyone, because early in the morning, you know, as we know, most of our senior citizens would go to the post office and do their business about the town, and then before they go home. And for them to witness something like this here, you know, it's just not good enough. I mean, I would appeal to people who are involved in this type of instance to desist from it. And I've certainly asked for people who were there on the day to contact the Gardaí and help them with their investigations into this attack.
Three teenagers have been charged in connection with a vicious assault on a 16-year-old in Bangor in County Down, which was filmed and posted on social media. The court heard the teenage girl was filmed as she was punched and kicked in the face at least 30 times on Friday night. An 18-year-old, a 17-year-old and a 16-year-old have been charged with grievous bodily harm with intent. The 17-year-old was also charged with aiding and abetting grievous bodily harm and assault. They were all remanded in custody to appear in court again on May the 11th. Almost €900,000 in funding has been announced for improvements for private, local and rural roads in Donegal. A total of €884,000 is set to be spent in the county in the latest round of local improvement scheme funding. It's the fourth highest allocation in the country under the LIS scheme for 2018. Government Chief Whip Minister Joe McHugh says it's important for those who missed out on the latest round to keep in touch with the scheme, as he envisages another allocation of funding later in the year.
This is a significant figure once again, and since last September there's a cumulative figure of around £4.2 million for the county. I know there was quite a bit of pressure on the council up to the back end of last year because the money was allocated quite late, so I'm delighted now that we're allocating funding earlier in the year. There was an initial announcement in January this year. This is another figure, and I'm quite confident that we'll be looking at further funding towards the back end of the year as well.
And in terms of the criteria, Minister, there had been some concerns in some different municipal districts across the county that some people got funding and some people didn't. What is the story with that now?
Well, look, the assessment is carried out by the council, and there is a designated official in each respective area. The overseers work very closely with the engineers in the specific area. So very much the assessment is done on the basis of need, and we're getting a good percentage of the overall lanes completed. And I would be encouraging people to ensure that they stay closely in touch with this scheme, and if there's to be a further round of applications, just to get the applications. And I know they're working on original applications from last year, and there are a priority listing of those lanes, and hopefully they can be done as a matter of priority.
Some parents are getting into debt amid pressure to help keep their child's primary school open. The The Catholic Primary Schools Management Association says state funding only covers half the day-to-day costs such as lighting, heating and insurance. It says parents are forced to donate up to €46 million a year to cover the shortfall, while teachers spend valuable time fundraising instead of with their pupils. General Secretary Seamus Mulconroy says it can have a negative impact on children.
The skills that you learn in primary school are fundamental. It's reading, writing, arithmetic, but it's also how to relate to other people. If you have a person who comes out successfully out of the primary school system and is able to do these, the chances are they're going to be a productive member of society. If they don't have those skills coming out, the chances are they're going not to be and could possibly end up in prison.
There has been a cautious welcome for the reversal of a government policy which will now allow people on job path to transfer to other schemes. The changes will facilitate access from June the 1st this year to community employment, rural social schemes or TUS schemes for long-term unemployed job seekers that are engaging in job path. Las Concorla and Donegal Deputy Pat the Cope Gallagher says other schemes are crying out for people to sign up.
The issue that we have, and it's a major one, if you're locked into job pass, you're locked into that for a year, and while you're on job pass, you cannot take up a position on a community employment scheme, a rural social scheme, or a TUS scheme, and they're crying out for individuals at the moment. And it's as a result of experience of people who are involved in job pass and cannot take up these schemes that we had a debate within the party, and now we have secured this concession from the minister.
A public meeting is to take place this week on the future of the old meeting house in Remalton. The historic building, which was once the first Presbyterian church in the town, has been brought under the spotlight as it urgently needs an upgraded heating system and ongoing maintenance. The meeting is taking place this Wednesday at the McKeamy Hall at 8:30, with people who have an interest in the upkeep of the building urged to attend. Local archaeologist Tony Wilkinson is hopeful that there is enough interest. If there is enough interest, an active committee group can be established.
The company, the Remelton Heritage and Development Association Limited, is now defunct per se, and we need something moving. And the unfortunate thing is I cannot get my hands on, or I haven't had sight of, the trust document which would maybe give us a pathway to saying, right, if the Heritage and Development Company failed, then the building would automatically revert to the church or what have you, you know. So we're holding a meeting and we're trying to drum up, as I say, a working group, a working committee to get the thing moving, you know.
Have you had discussions with the church itself with regards to that whole ownership issue?
I've had discussions with them, yes. I mean, obviously the meeting is being held in their church hall on Wednesday. It's the McKeamy Hall, which is at the rear of the Presbyterian Church. They are with me on this in that we're holding the meeting with a view to trying to move it on as a going concern that it was as a monument to Francis McKeamy, whom their hall is named after. That was the church he originally worshipped in, and before he went off to be the moderator of the Presbyterian Church in the USA, you know. So that was the kind of overall the heritage of the building, is that it was the first of the Presbyterian churches in this area.
Highland Sport is brought to you by Michael Murphy Sports and Leisure, proud sponsors of the Donegal GAA Club Championships.
It's now 5:15 and time for the latest sport with Oisin Kelly.
Thanks, Michaela. We start with Gaelic Games. And the GAA insists it will not be taking a stance or commenting in any way on the upcoming referendum on the 8th Amendment. It's understood they've written to each county secretary to remind them of the association's impartial stance on such matters. A group calling themselves GAA Athletes for a No Vote, which includes Tyrone manager Mickey Hart, held an event at Ballyfermot's De La Salle GAA Club on Saturday past. The club has since distanced themselves from the event. Letterkenny Athletic Club have announced the Letterkenny International Track and Field Meeting will not be taking place this year. They said in a statement, "Unfortunately, due to circumstances outside of our control, we are unable to stage the meeting this year." The staging of the event will be reviewed again in 2019. Over the past 5 years, there has been exceptional performances from a host of world-class athletes at the Danny McDade Athletics Track, including the first ever sub-4-minute mile on Donegal soil in 2015 by double Olympian Juan Luis Barrios from Mexico, making his place in history by stopping the clock at 3:59.43. A year later, three Irish women etched their way into the history books as the trio of Kerry O'Flaherty, Michelle Finn and Sarah Tracy all secured qualification standards for the 2016 Rio Olympic Games. Never before had three Irish women qualified for an Olympic Games at the same race meeting. Shea Given announced over the weekend that he is retiring from professional football. Shea, who was the recipient of the 40th Donegal Person of the Year Award in Dublin, dedicated the award to his friend, Pat Shovlin, who passed away last year. He has over 130 caps for his country, while Shea played with Premier League clubs such as Newcastle United, Aston Villa, Manchester City and Stoke City. The Lifford Stopper spoke with Donal Kavanagh on this morning's 9 to Noon show.
There's a few things that I could have signed professional terms with people and stuff, but it had to be right in the sense I had to sort of excite me and think, you know, I could bring something to the group of players I was joining and stuff, and the few clubs and whatever did offer me stuff, I didn't jump off the page, I'm being honest, Donal, and even in January there was a couple of clubs that maybe wanted me to sign to the end of the season, but it just didn't feel right, and I just felt that, you know, obviously on Saturday night I felt it was the right time to announce. People probably won't be that shocked about it because I haven't been involved since last summer, of course, with Stoke City, but I just felt I wanted to do it in front of, you know, I started the Donegal League, of course, and I wanted to do it in front of a room full of Donegal people, really, and I felt that was the right time to announce it, and I just felt nice that I could say that in front of all the people that were there, of course, and you know, where I started with Lifford Celtic so many years ago, and I suppose it kind of finished there with all the people in attendance, and of course, you know, talking to you this morning as well, Donal, just, you know, for the people up in Donegal especially, it's I don't know, just thought it was the right time, really, to say to anyone that, you know, that's a wrap, as I said on Saturday night, you know, the party's over when it comes to playing football, and you know, that you'd love to play forever, because that's all I've ever done, but there's a realisation now, I'm 42 there on Friday past, so, you know, you can't play forever, and of course the fitness levels and what have you, and different things, it just doesn't allow you to do that, of course, so, but I've enjoyed every minute, of course, some great clubs to play for, of course, playing for Ireland as well, which was very, very special, and, you know, I've enjoyed every minute of it.
In terms of your own future, you have been looking at getting your coaching badges, and you have been working away in terms of developing your coaching skills. Is that on the cards for the future?
Well, I'm doing my A licence and my B licence outfield already, and I'm in the process of doing my goalkeeping A licence at the minute, but I'm not sure, actually. I'm enjoying the media stuff. I did a lot of TV work here in England and a little bit in Ireland as well for Air Sports, and it's something that, you know, I'm getting into more, and you know, I'm enjoying it because I'm involved talking about football still, and so that's all I know, really. That's all my qualifications, but you know, if there was a coaching badge or a coaching job, sorry, came up in the future and it was something of interest, then at least I'd have the badges, you know, well, for me, I wouldn't have to go and work the next 3 or 4 or 5 years to gain the badges. At least I've got them, and I could go straight away into a job if something came up. But, you know, the Premier League, you know what it is. There's a lot of foreign managers and foreign coaches, and you know, there's not that many opportunities, I suppose. But I'm enjoying the media side of things as well, and you can get a bit more time to spend with the family and the kids and stuff, because I've got 4 kids, take up a lot of time as well. So it's nice to be able to sort of do some TV work for a few days and have a few days at home with the kids as well. So it's a nice balance.
You can hear more from Shea Given in the sports section of our website, highlandradio.com. One of Shea's former clubs, Newcastle United, play their 100th game under manager Rafa Benitez tonight. They're away to Seamus Coleman and co-ed Everton in the Premier League. The Magpies are flying high as they head to Goodison Park. They go in search of a 5th successive victory against a side that have failed to win in their last 3. Victory will see Newcastle replace Everton and 9th in the table. Wes Hoolan is to leave Norwich City at the end of the season. The former Republic of Ireland playmaker has made 351 appearances for the Championship side and will be awarded a testimonial for his service. This Saturday's meeting with Leeds will be his final game for the club, with Norwich calling him a club legend. Sligo Rovers await the winners of tonight's EA Sports Cup Last 16 encounter as two of the sides flying high in the Premier Division meet in the Cup. It's Cork City and Waterford United. That match is taking place at the RSC. Sean Devaney of Northwest Snooker Club is through to this year's National Under 18 Snooker Final in the Ivy Rooms in Carlow next month. He defeated his clubmate Ronan White 3-2 in the semi-final over the weekend to set up a tie with Aaron Hull from Cork in the decider. It's been a great 3 months for Sean, who has reached all four tournament finals that he's competed in, and in doing so, he's been selected to compete for Ireland at this year's World Under 18 and Under 21 Snooker Championships in China, which took place in July. Ulster's Mark Allen is through to the last 16 of the World Snooker Championships for the ninth time. The 2009 semi-finalist has beaten his first round opponent Liam Highfield by 10 frames to 5. The Antrim man will now play Joe Perry for a place in the quarterfinals. And finally, in rugby, Leinster have confirmed that Sean O'Brien will miss the Champions Cup final. The influential flanker will sit out for the rest of the season, having undergone a shoulder surgery last Friday. That's it, Michaela. We'll be back with an expulsion tomorrow morning after the 8 news.
Thanks, Oisín. A jury has returned a verdict of unlawful killing in the death of Garda Tony Golden. The dad of three was shot dead by Creven Makin in October 2015 while on duty at a house in Omeath in County Louth. Makin also seriously injured his girlfriend before taking his own life. Stephanie Grogan reports from the coroner's court in County Louth.
Garda Tony Golden spent his final hours taking a statement from a young woman called Siobhan Phillips, who'd been viciously beaten up by her boyfriend and father of her two children, Creven Makin. She described him hitting her in the head and ribs, cutting her and spitting at her. Garda Golden told her you can't be intimidated by a bully, and together they went to the couple's house in Omeath and Louth to get her belongings. Her dad went along also and describes how he heard Makin saying, "You're not leaving me," before he heard screaming and a number of bangs. 10 shots in total were fired. 5 hit Tony Golden, while Siobhan Phillips was seriously injured. Creven Makin then killed himself. Solicitor James McGill spoke outside the inquest on behalf of Tony Golden's widow and family.
My client is delighted that the inquest is over. She welcomes the verdict of the jury, and she would just like to repeat her request that the privacy of herself and her children is respected at this time.
The inquest heard Creven Makin had admitted to his sister 9 months previously that he had imported parts of guns. He'd also been charged with IRA membership and released on bail. Siobhan Phillips, who has a brain injury and lost her right eye, didn't attend the inquest, but her dad Sean did. He wants a public inquiry into what happened.
We're discovering little snippets how bad this guy was, but we're continuously trying to get the answers as we go along.
The coroner said the community is devastated by what happened to Garda Golden, and no words can express how difficult his loss must be for his family. Stephanie Grogan at the Coroner's Court in County Louth.
For weather now, sunny spells and scattered showers this evening with top temperatures of 12 to 14 degrees in moderate to fresh and gusty southwest winds. And just to have a look at the closing headlines, there are calls for an increase in Garda patrols outside Letterkenny's post office after what's been described as a violent brawl there last week. It was reported that up to 5 men were involved in the fight on Wednesday morning, which began in the post office and then continued outside the premises. A leading consultant in emergency medicine at Letterkenny University Hospital has described the number of people presenting themselves to the hospital with alcohol-related issues as scary. Dr. Jerry Lane was speaking ahead of a special reception to be held tonight in honour of his contribution to the local community. Almost €900,000 in funding has been announced for improvements for private, local and rural roads in Donegal. A total of €884,000 is set to be spent in the county in the latest round of local improvement scheme funding. And a public meeting is to take place this week on the future of the old meeting house in Remelton. The historic building, which was once the first Presbyterian church in the town, has been brought under the spotlight as it urgently needs an upgraded heating system and ongoing maintenance. That's all from Highland Radio News for now. You can listen back to a podcast of our main evening news on our website, highlandradio.com. We'll be back with an update again at 6 o'clock. Until then, good evening. The obituary notices for this Monday evening, April the 23rd. The death has taken place of Elizabeth Lily Noon, late of Ballynagran, Glenealy. Removal from the Eternal Light Chapel Rest, Mountaintop, Letterkenny, this evening at 7 o'clock, going to her home. Funeral from her home on Wednesday afternoon at 1:30 for 2 o'clock Requiem Mass in St Mary's Church, Boken, followed by burial in the adjoining cemetery. Family flowers only, or if desired, donations in lieu to the patient's comfort fund, Karen Dunnett, care of any family member, or Liam Collins, funeral director. Family time from 11 p.m. to 11 a.m. and on the morning of the funeral. The death has taken place of Jimmy Rosie Brennan in Manchester, England, and formerly Ochmeen Dunlow. Remains are reposing at his home in Ratcliffe, Manchester, from Saturday. Funeral Mass in St Mary's Church, Ratcliffe, on Wednesday the 2nd of May at 1:30, with cremation afterwards. The death has occurred of Patrick Paddy Keyes, late of Pound Town, Greencastle. Remains are reposing at his late residence. Funeral from there on Wednesday morning at 10:15 for 11:00 Requiem Mass in St Mary's Church, Ballybrack, followed by burial in the adjoining cemetery. Family time, please, from 11 p.m. to 11 a.m. Family flowers only. Donations, if desired, to the Carndonagh Community Hospital Hospice Ward, Care of Liam Collins, Funeral Director, or any family member. The death has taken place of George Scott, 23 Oak Park, Churchview Convoy, formerly of 8 Town Parks Convoy. His remains are reposing at his late residence, 23 Oak Park. Funeral leaving from there tomorrow afternoon at 1:45 for 2:00 service in Convoy Presbyterian Church. Burial afterwards in the family plot. Family flowers only. Donations, if desired, to Convoy Presbyterian Church, care of Michelle Scott or Terence McClintock, funeral directors. House private from 10 p.m. to 11 a.m. The death has taken place of Sally Gibson, Rye, Falcarra. Remains are reposing at her home. Removal from there this evening at 6:30, going to St Finian's Church, Falcarra, for 7:00 to repose overnight. Funeral Mass tomorrow morning at 11:00, burial afterwards in the adjoining cemetery. Family time from 10 p.m. to 11 a.m. Family flowers only. Donations in lieu of desired to the Patient Comfort Fund, Falcarra Nursing Unit, care of John Ferry, undertaker, or any family member. And the death has taken place of Liam Deary, 3 Coshnafin, Ballybuffet. His remains are reposing at his home. Funeral leaving his home tomorrow morning at 10:30 for Requiem Mass at 11:00 in the Church of Mary Immaculate, Stranorder. Interment afterwards in Stranorder Cemetery. Donations in lieu of flowers, if so desired, to the Friends of Letterkenny University Hospital, care of any family member. Family time from 11:00 tonight and on the morning of the funeral tomorrow.